Hall & Wilcox acknowledges the traditional custodians of the lands on which this podcast is recorded. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and to all First Nations people joining us today.
Hello, welcome back to our Equity Capital Markets podcast, focusing on all things ECM. Today I'm again joined by fellow partners Deborah Chu and Michelle Eastwell. Welcome both.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having us.
Welcome. In this episode, we're going to discuss convertible notes. What are they? How are they used? And hopefully some tips and tricks. So maybe, Deborah, let's start with the basics. What are convertible notes?
Sure. At its most basic level, convertible note is just a debt security that can be converted into equity, which for a listed company usually means conversion into the listed company's ordinary shares. That conversion is usually at a discount, say 10 or even 20% to the market price for the shares when the principal amount of the notes is converted. And often you don't have to convert all of the principal amount of the notes. You can convert some from time to time. At the holder's option. Sometimes the notes could be required to be converted on the occurrence of a particular event, say the company's next capital raising, or if there's a takeover bid, but usually it's at the holder's option. Like any debt, the convertible notes usually would bear interest, but that interest can be added to the principal amount, called pay in kind or PIK notes. And in that case, if the notes are converted into equity, that interest, which is added to the principal, is also converted into equity. And the notes, being debt, would have a maturity date, often 2 or 3 years after the notes are issued, so that if they're not converted by that time, then they have to be repaid like any old debt. The ASX thinks of convertible notes as equity securities, which means that under the listing rules, the terms of the convertible notes, in the ASX's opinion, must be appropriate and equitable. Now, what that means in the context of convertible notes, the ASX has issued a guidance note in which it says that they may have concerns about whether the terms are appropriate and equitable if the notes convert into other convertible securities, that is, not the company's ordinary shares. If the conversion price is based on the future market price of the company's shares and there isn't a floor, so that, you know, in theory, if there wasn't a floor, you could have an infinite amount of shares that could be issued on conversion, or if shareholder approval would be required in order for the conversion right to be exercised. All of those things the ASX may be concerned about, and so may decide that the terms aren't appropriate and equitable. Yeah. And as an equity security, if the convertible notes are issued without shareholder approval and without coming within one of the placement capacity exceptions, the company will need to have room under the 15% capacity limit in Listing Rule 7.1. Yeah. So that's another reason, by the way, that you would want to have a floor on the conversion price, because in calculating whether it comes within the placement capacity, the ASX looks at the maximum number of shares that can be issued on conversion. And if there's no floor, that maximum number could be really, really high.
So Deborah, the ASX regards them as equity securities from the get-go. But from the holder's point of view, it's a sort of less risky instrument than pure equity, because they rank as a creditor unless and until they convert to equity.
That's right. And in fact, they are real debt. If they're not converted, they have a maturity date and the company would be required to repay the principal amount.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, David. So, Michelle, when do you see convertible notes being used as a fundraising option, and why?
So as we've discussed previously on the podcast as to different styles of capital raising, convertible notes are just one of many tools available for capital raising on the ASX or for ASX listed entities. I think why we see them being used, and particularly more so, there's been quite an uptick, and this is why I think the updated ASX guidance over the last 12 months or so has been put out as well by ASX, is that this style of capital raising provides investors with an opportunity really to provide funding with a potential upside, pending obviously share price movements, while also balancing the downside risk where you are ultimately a creditor if alternatively you do not convert into shares along the way. We're also seeing some of these instruments being issued on a secured basis, so effectively a secured creditor as well. So effectively they provide that upside potential and while balancing that downside risk to investors. But we often see them used as a form of funding because it is a relatively speedy way to secure capital. And it also provides that flexibility to the company to either satisfy by debt or equity, as Deborah has already raised and spoken about. So if, in terms of that speed, if a convertible note raise is undertaken, assuming it's being made to selected institutional investors, it can be undertaken relatively quickly because there's also no formal ASX timetable which applies to a convertible note raise if it's being undertaken to institutional investors. There's also the benefit of being able to use a form of cleansing notice upfront that's been tailored with ASIC relief for convertible notes. That also streamlines the disclosure on the initial issue of the notes and also provides freely tradable shares on conversion if it can be used and relied on. We also see issuers providing convertible notes with multiple tranche drawdowns as well as a way of providing flexibility to the company's financing needs. So that flexibility can be beneficial to a company, meaning they're not locked in to a significant initial fundraising, but providing comfort to them that the funding may be available in the future if needed. So that's often attractive to a listed entity. And that also has the potential to minimise the possible dilution down the track on equity holders as well, dependent upon the amount actually drawn and the ability to satisfy by either debt or equity.
Yeah. Michelle, thanks. So as you say, there's a growing, you're seeing a growing trend in the use of convertible notes. Are there any tips and tricks that you think our listeners could benefit from?
John, you know, I'll note with an issue of convertible notes, the same issues that come up with issues of ordinary shares need to be thought about. Things like, are you going to need a disclosure document, like a prospectus? Can related parties of the company participate in the issue since it's an issue of an equity security without having to get shareholder approval, and also what might be the impact of the takeover restrictions under Chapter 6 of the Corporations Act, in particular, the 20% limit on a shareholder being able to acquire shares without having to make a takeover bid for the entire company. So, for example, on the issue of whether a related party can participate, there are various exceptions for when a related party can participate in an equity issue without having to get shareholder approval. One of the key ones is if it's in connection with a rights issue. And so you could do a rights issue of convertible notes to the company's existing shareholders, but that would actually require that a prospectus be used because the prospectus exemption for rights issues under the Corporations Act applies to an issue of ordinary shares, but not to convertible notes. So added complication if you want to do a rights issue. And then you've got the Chapter 6 issue under the Corporations Act, if the company has a 20% shareholder or someone who might go over if they participated. And interestingly, because the convertible note is a debt, a 20% shareholder could get convertible notes, but they couldn't convert them if going over would cause them to go over the 20% threshold, unless some exemption applied, like the 3% creep, or if they got shareholder approval to acquire those additional shares. So it can be a complicated matter doing a convertible note issue, particularly if you have significant shareholders or related parties who want to participate in it. And so those issues would need to be worked through in doing a convertible note issue.
So it can be a speedy way to raise capital, but there are a few things you need to think through to make sure.
Can be speedy if it's a straight placement. Otherwise, you'll need to work through some timing issues.
Yeah. And Michelle, any other complexities or anything else we should be thinking about?
I think adding to what Deborah has talked about, we do occasionally see a convertible note raise being undertaken by way of a rights issue or an entitlement offer to shareholders, but not all that often. And really the key reason for that is a retail offer of convertible notes will generally need to comply with the Chapter 2L debenture provisions, which effectively means you've got to appoint an appropriately licensed trustee, of which there are only a few in the market, in addition to having the trust deed and meeting the disclosure document requirements. So it is actually a relatively complex process, particularly in that junior to mid-market from an ASX perspective. So as a result, we generally see pretty limited use of retail offers of convertible notes in that end of the market, with instead really the approach being to undertake it, as Deborah mentioned, by way of more so a placement structure, whereby you are offering to select institutional investors in particular who have an appetite for this form of capital raising, but also understand the structure really well. So that's generally why we see in the small to mid-cap market, these convertible notes being offered on an institutional basis and undertaken in that quite speedy timeframe. I think one of the other pieces to sort of circle back to, and I know Deborah mentioned at the outset around ASX needing to ensure that the terms are appropriate and equitable of these convertible securities, is that we've definitely seen a shift in the approach of ASX on this front in the past 12 months. So in May last year, ASX confirmed their approach to convertible notes and how they wanted to ensure compliance with Listing Rule 6.1, which is around those equity securities being appropriate and equitable. And that changed really the historical position, whereby you'd previously make an informal approach to ASX to seek that confirmation. But now, if an entity confirms based on legal advice from a suitably qualified and experienced lawyer that the terms of the proposed convertible note are market standard, and that certain features that are flagged in Asset Guidance Note 21 are not present, then ASX generally don't expect the listed entity to come and seek advice from the ASX as to compliance with 6.1. Yeah. If, however, there are non-market standard terms included, or some of the features noted in Guidance Note 21 are present, then you do have to now make a formal application for in-principle advice, and that's likely to materially impact on timing. So keeping in mind, John, I think our experience is consistent with the guidance note paper as well, that is around 20 business days turnaround for an in-principle application. That obviously significantly impacts timetabling if your convertible notes are proposed to include any unusual terms or any of the factors that ASX have already flagged as of concern in Guidance Note 21. So if you're offering notes which are market standard terms, that's likely to streamline the process. But if your terms are complex, potentially highly dilutive, or have any unusual features, you're then looking at an extended timeframe to get that in-principle determination made by ASX. And then I think, John, the other really interesting piece as well is because of the debt component of these instruments is really how they interplay with the balance financing arrangements of the listed entity. So different to a straight equity placement, if there are indebtedness restrictions in your existing financial arrangements, they will often need to be considered and worked through as part of implementing any sort of convertible note raise.
Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, Deborah. That's a really interesting discussion and lots of insights there. Thanks also, everyone, for listening today. As always, please get in touch with us if you have any questions. You can find our details on our website, which is hallandwilcox.com.au, or connect with us on LinkedIn. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please rate, review, or follow our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.
This podcast is not legal advice and should not be relied upon as such. You should always obtain legal advice about your specific circumstances.